Our study tonight is out of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. 1 Timothy 3, 6, 1 Timothy 3, 7, 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, 1 Timothy 5, 11 to 15, and 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26, avoiding the things of Satan. Six times in the pastoral epistles, Paul addressed the issue of Satan in relation to ministry in the local church. What should be no surprise to us believers. After all, the local church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 3:15 in the NIV. So we should expect Satan to target the local church for spiritual defeat. It's interesting. Often I find Christians say, Satan in the church? And I say, yeah, why not? I mean, if you're going to try to stir up and create problems for the work of God, you want to go right after the situation where people are being discipled, and that's the local church. So we view the passages involved for our insight, our application, and edification. The first passage is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. This charge I commit unto thee, O son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning have faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So we must avoid teaching blasphemous things that lead to God's use of Satan to punish us. Paul had charged Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 3 to 11 to remain at Ephesus to teach certain men not to teach Hebrew myths or to misuse the law, but to use it lawfully to convict people of sin in order to lead them to Christ. However, Hymenaeus and Alexander had departed from biblical truth to teach Hebrew myths and or an errant application of the law so that they had blasphemed. So Paul had thus given them over to Satan to face suffering, to teach them not to blaspheme. Dr. William Hendrickson feels that what they were facing was going to be physical suffering that Satan would lower on them. So we must avoid God's discipline under Satan by using Scripture to teach the truth that honors God. It's very interesting. God doesn't like error, especially blasphemous things spoken about him. And so that's why we have to be careful about that. The second passage is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. And Paul is in the process here of talking about qualifications for overseers or elders. And he said, not a novice or not a new convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The condemnation of the devil was pride. Remember, Satan said, I shall be like the Most High. Tried to exalt himself, and as a result of that, he fell from his position, his lofty position in heaven. So we must avoid putting a new convert into leadership, lest he fall into Satan's sin of pride. A new convert may have a worldly view of oversight that can tempt him to be proud if he is made a leader. So we must then wait for a man to mature enough to be humble before putting him into church leadership. Chuck Swindoll one time, he's a good preacher, he says, if you study Scripture, you often notice that when God chooses a man for significant leadership, he often tells the Lord, I'd really prefer that you get someone else. In other words, he likes to select men who just assume and rather not be there. In other words, they don't lust for the position at all. That's what with Moses. He said, oh, can you please get someone else? And the anger of the Lord burned against him. So it's very important that before a person gets into a leadership, he recognizes that without the Lord, he's nothing. So he needs to be a humble person. And then the next passage is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Continuing on in qualifications of an elder. Moreover, he must have a good report or a good reputation of them that are without, that's with unbelievers, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Two things are reproach and snare. We must avoid putting a man with a bad reputation with unbelievers into church leadership, lest he be reproached by the world. In other words, people make fun of him and say, you, an elder in that church? Boy, that must be a bad church because you're a bad guy kind of a thing. That's being reproached by the world. Or trapped by Satan into thinking that he can escape discipline for sin since he's a leader. Now that's a temptation men will fall into. They get into position leadership. Well, I must be a holy man, so you know I can do pretty much what I want, even if it's wrong. Nobody's going to check me on this. So an upright reputation is necessary for any man who is put into spiritual oversight in a church, because he is a public figure before not only the church, but also before the unsaved community around the church. If one has a poor reputation, he needs to be kept out of leadership in the local church, since he can either be mocked by the unsaved and hurt the church's testimony, or he can become proud and think that he can do whatever wrong he desires, since no one objects to his being in office regardless of his sins. It's interesting, leadership is, especially in a local church, you're out in front, you're in a fishbowl, life is in a fishbowl. People are observing. People outside in the community are observing. People are observing within the church. And so you've got to watch getting a person in there who's the proper type of person, who's a representative of the Lord. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1-5. This is an important one as well. Let me read it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We must avoid doctrines of demons that distort how one is to meet his physical needs. Now, the demons and Satan are really great on this. They know how to take, see, we all have physical needs for various needs of the body. And you can go in wrong directions both ways. You can go in wrong directions by overindulging, or you can go in the wrong direction of abstaining. And either way, it creates a hardship. But Satan's great at this either way. So Paul warned in the latter days that doctrines of demons would arise that forbade marriage and restricted people from ingesting certain foods. It's interesting, the Catholic Church does both of these. It has restrained marriage for priests and also from ingesting certain foods, like during Lent and that kind of a thing, distorting the meeting of normal physical needs. These doctrines were to be countered with the truth that marriage is honorable, Hebrews 13:4a, and all foods acceptable to God if they be received with thanksgiving, 1 Timothy 4:3b-5. Satan can also tempt one to meet his needs by committing immorality, that's Hebrews 13:4b and 1 Corinthians 7:5, or gluttony, Deuteronomy 21:20. So we must renounce both the extremes of denying or indulging one's physical appetites to avoid the temptations and snares of the devil on addressing of physical needs. Godliness is something that shows up in moderation. There's a moderation in regards to meeting the physical needs. There's moderation in aesthetic appeal and everything. Moderation in the type of housing a person gets and whatnot. If we become extravagant one way or another, or too restrictive, that's where we get into trouble. And that's what God wants us to watch out for. And then 1 Timothy 5, 11-15, this has to do with women in particular. Let me read the passage. 1 Timothy 5, verse 11 through 15. But the younger widows refuse to put on the list for church support, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will remarry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women remarry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary, that's the Satan, to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. This is where women can get into trouble, specifically women, in regards to Satan. Paul warned that in the latter, with no government welfare in the early church, churches would financially support widows But they did not support young widows, lest they be idle and become busybodies who committed sins with the tongue. Applied to us, we must encourage women not to be idle, but preferably to get married and be homemakers, to avoid being used by Satan to harm the local church by being busybodies and sinning with the tongue. I'm not going to give illustrations here, but I can tell you, there have been some whoppers of difficulties occur in regards to abuse with the tongue. Especially watch out. And then, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. This is the sixth one. The servant of the Lord must not argue, but be gentle unto all men, tending to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who contradict them. If God perhaps will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will. So we must avoid being taken captive by Satan by our lusts to oppose God's servants. Paul revealed that those who oppose God's upright messengers in the local church are taken captive by Satan through sin to do Satan's will of countering God's messengers and thus trying to hinder the discipling process in the local church. Accordingly, we must watch that we avoid living by means of our sinful natures, that we leave no room for Satan to ensnare us into opposing God's servants in the local church. And we depend upon the Spirit of God by Galatians 5:16 that we not walk in the Spirit, that we not function in the flesh. So the lesson is Satan tries to hinder the discipling process of local churches by various means. So all believers must rely by faith on the Holy Spirit to obey Scripture, to avoid giving Satan room to use them to trouble the local church. So may we each, as believers, rely by faith on the Holy Spirit to obey Scripture, that we might have victory over Satan. When I was a student at Dallas Seminary, I was sitting in a class taught by Dr. Dwight Pentecost. He was my mentor at Dallas. He is also, he actually helped the seminary formulate its premillennial preposition, pre-tribulation position through his doctoral dissertation, which was 300 pages long. And I'll never forget, he was teaching, and there was a student who kept raising his hand and trying to contradict Dr. Pentecost. He was trying to be polite about it, but he kept contradicting. And I was stunned. I thought, you know, this guy doesn't know anything compared to what Pentecost is bringing up. But he kept doing this day after day, and finally Dr. Pentecost accosted him. And he indicated that he had a spiritual problem. That's why he was, because Pentecost was teaching the truth. He taught that class, I think it was, the book of Revelation, we were going through it. He taught it, many years, and he was one of the world authorities in regards to that. So he accosted the student about that. I never forgot that. I was just stunned to see this happening right in the seminary classroom. This guy's supposed to be trained for a pastor, but it taught me a lot. The devil can work anywhere. And he can do his work in order to try to undermine the ministry of God in the church and through God's messengers. So we need to watch all of these things. We need to avoid teaching blasphemous things that lead to God's use of Satan to punish us. We must avoid putting a new convert into leadership, lest he fall into Satan's sin of pride. We have to avoid putting a man with a bad reputation with unbelievers into the church. That can create problems. We must avoid doctrines of demons that distort how we meet our physical needs. We must avoid encouraging women to be idle, but rather to marry and become homemakers, lest they turn aside after Satan. And we must avoid being taken captive by Satan by our lusts to oppose God's servants. So, even in the church, we got to watch out for the evil one that he's on the prowl, so we need to watch out for him. And we need to trust the Lord for victory.